right, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 15. Jeremiah, I can't see you either, by the way, but I heard you're back there. Yes, there you are. Beth said you're back there. You actually head out this week? All right, well, Beth told me you put something on Facebook really nice about the church. We're glad you've been here. We are glad that you're going to be reunited with your family in Florida, but blessings to you, my friend, and hopefully all of you can say bye to him. He's moving out down south to that one state where people just seem to go and retire, I guess. But anyways, bless you. It's been great to have you here, and I just wanted to say that before you left. Okay, also, one more thing I'm going to add to last week, because I know that there's a few of you that get fired up about stuff like that. Kenny made the comment that he's never heard the church clap so loud when we were talking about some of the things that we're doing to take a stand. I want to make sure you all hear, and I don't think anyone misheard me. Last week is not a message of rebellion against our government. It's a message of a church standing in the face of opportunity we have. We have to learn that no matter what oppression and what comes against us, whether it's by politics, whether it's governmental, or whether it's the enemy himself, we have to stand no matter what. It's not about a mask. It's not about it's about the fact as Christians, we need to stand for truth at all times. And so I hope you heard that well. I had a few people come to me and say, well, you know what? I thought you were going to go a little bit further down that road. No, I try to tiptoe that line of not getting overboard too much. But I do believe, and the one thing I did leave out last week is the example that actually started this whole thing for me. Is you've all been to the whole science project. I hope they don't do it anymore because I think they'd close down the schools. But it's the old example where you put a frog in a boil in water. And that's how we are as Christians a lot of times. We don't realize it's getting hotter around us because it's gradually, until one day it's boiling water and we are under extreme persecution. And that's why last week's warning was just that. Let's not wait till it gets so hot and it's too late. Let's not wait until we go, oh my goodness, I can't handle the heat no more. And let's do it now. Let's be ready like the three Hebrew children who we talked about the last couple of times, who prepared themselves in Daniel chapter 1 for the battle ahead of them for the furnace coming later. We want to be prepared. We want to be praying in the Spirit. You know, one of the things that we did at the last encounter night, Kenny had us come up there and say, those of you for now, let's just spend some time praying in the Spirit. And you know what happens? Jude tells us when you pray in the Holy Spirit, it builds you up in faith. We got to learn to build ourselves up in these times. We got to not be ashamed and bashful. We are a Spirit-filled church because we believe in a Spirit-filled message that it empowers us, it emboldens us. Praying in the Spirit doesn't always help your neighbor, but it'll help you. It'll empower you. It'll strengthen you. You know, Ken Smith, those that didn't know this week, Ken, by the way, I don't ever want to go on vacation like you do. And I just want you to know, they go camping and he decides to spend the whole week in a hospital. I don't understand why. That must have been a horrible camping. I'm sorry, I shouldn't even tease like that because his family's like, yeah, I know. But Ken spent the week in the hospital. But you know what's funny? My first text, we started texting, I think, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. We talked for a while. But you know, one thing I love about it, when you're under attack physically, to hear the testimonies of how many people he prayed for, they're walking, and then I find out later on the phone, by the way, they put him in a psych ward. Don't let him fool you. They say it was just because of his leg, but trust me, I heard the stories. He said there's people screaming next door to him, and he was actually in a psych ward. Kid, I don't know, but they might have misdiagnosed you. So, you know, but the hospital's overflowing with a COVID room, so they had to combine floors, and I felt bad for him. He was telling me stories. These people were, one girl was trying to escape, and they had to run after her, so... But what happened was they found out this guy is in there in pain, under attack, and he's praying for people. Why? He said, I decided dark pain that first time he was there, but he prayed in the Spirit. Why? Because he had to build himself up. You see, when you pray in the Spirit, you're building yourself. Man, this isn't even in my notes, by the way. We're not even there. We'll get there in a minute. But when you learn to pray in the Spirit, it's a tool that you have as Christians to build yourself up so you can stand, you can overcome the pain. And you know, eventually we're going to find out, well, I had no idea how much faith I built just by getting myself and getting the Word of God inside of me and praying in the Spirit. I want to encourage you. This is a message. If you don't do this often, please. This is a great weapon and a tool that we have as Christians to build ourselves up and to encourage ourselves. Amen? All right, so Luke chapter 15. Here's where I'd like to share this morning. Now switching gears completely, totally different. This message this morning is about this. As a church, we have a lot of division, a lot of strife, and a lot of things going on in our nation that is truly causing a lot of chaos. We have movements that have to label this and label that. And there's so much division that if you don't align yourself the right way, you yourself will be under attack. If we make the mistake and say, well, you know, I was watching a show this week. You can say, I believe in this movement, but I don't believe in the organization. Well, then you're going to be under attack for that. No matter what you say, if you're not careful, there's going to be offense taken. We're living in a world like that now. There's battle lines drawn. And what's sad is this. I don't know why, for some reason in my life, it doesn't matter what color of skin, no matter what who you vote for, we can't not be an example of what this message is about today. We got to embody the love of Christ. It doesn't, these boundaries that we've set up against each other have to be torn down. And so my heart this morning as we leave here in just a few minutes is that we hear this message in Luke 15. Starting in verse 1, let's start there. Then drew near him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. Now stop right there. Who's drawing near him? The publicans and sinners. I like that. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them, and he spoke this parable. Now let me stop. The point of the parable today isn't about just the sheep that we're talking about. The sheep isn't just the church, even though that is the main focus of the, because we are the sheep, he is the shepherd. But he said he's speaking to a group, though, of unbelievers. Did you check that out? He's speaking to unbelievers here. So why is he saying this message to unbelievers? Verse 4. What man among you have 100 sheep and lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after them which is lost until he find it? And then he had found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing, and he comes home, he calls all together his friends and neighbors and saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say it unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just the persons that we need of no repentance. This ought to get into our hearts this morning. This story, this message is what Jesus did. This is the heart of who he is. So let's define this. Number one. I have a pen right here. It's valuable because it's a Spirit Life Church on it. But we have thousands of these. We order them, we give them away. If I lost this pen, I'm probably not going to lose any sleep over it. But you see, I'm not personally a pen collector, but my dad was. And my dad, when he retired from his business career, somebody gave him a Mont Blanc set of pens, which was worth thousands of dollars, okay? Gold pieces and all that stuff. I mean, really nice set. If you lose one of those, you think you're going to look for it? Just throwing it out there. Nah, let's just go buy another $1,000 pen. No, you're going to find it. If you lose your kid, you're going to look for him? Well, okay, maybe. Some of you are on the line right now. Well, how long do they have to be gone to be considered lost? Okay, I gotcha. All right, different. Bad example. Very bad example. So I thought of this example today, though. Let's just say that I walked in the church today and said, folks, somewhere today, there's an envelope with $1,000 in it, and it's all, I don't know where it's at, but whoever finds it can keep it. Do you know what you guys would do? You'd be tearing each other apart to find that $1,000. That's lost money. That's the next example about the lost coin. The point of this is this. Jesus considers one lost sheep that valuable, that he'll tear up stuff, and he'll do whatever it takes to go find the one that's lost. And the problem we have as a church is we don't always have that compassionate heart that Jesus does. We like the 99. We're comfortable here. We're having church today. There's 99. But what about the one that's missing today? What about the one that's not here? Not because they're not in church, but what if they're not walking with the Lord the way they should be? Why are we not as a church? Well, bro, that's your job. That's the pastor's job. Oh, that's not true. Jesus is the example for all of us, not just the pastors. So yes, should we be doing it even more? Yes. Are we doing a good job at it? Not always. We're going to do it better, and we're going to keep trying. And there's people we do, oh yes, I forgot. You know, there are times, but a lot of times it's not even that. We're praying for them. We might try to get a hold of each other. There's always excuses to be made for any of us. But my question today is, I'm going to leave this in my notes here. Are you ready to go find lost sheep? There's your conclusion of the message, just a second. That's what we're here for. Are you ready to go out and find the one that's missing? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone that does go to church here. Maybe it's somebody that you know that grew up in the church and got hurt and angry, and now they're just so bitter against God, they don't really want nothing to do with God anymore. Are we willing to lose the comfort of just saying, hey, I go to church, I'm happy, and whenever I meet people, I talk about Jesus, but are you seeking? The story behind this, and there's a great teacher, one of my favorite teachers I listen to is Malcolm Smith. I don't listen to him as much anymore, but he told a story one time about the power of this story. And the prodigal, they'd always be, all the sheep would be in an area, right? But when that prodigal sheep, that lost sheep would go off, normally it'd go and find its way, and there would be damage on the sheep. Because there's wolves, there's other stuff out there. They'd be broken legs, there'd be all these type of things that'd be wrong. So when the shepherd went there, he'd be very careful because they were going into a territory that wasn't always good. When you go find somebody that's not walking with God, it might not always be pleasant. They might not be too happy. This is a true story. Over 20 years ago, we got a phone call, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. And they said, I hate to bother you, Slade, but I need you to go to a bar and drag my spouse out of that bar and bring him home. I'm like, really? That sounds fun. They're going to really be happy to see the preacher at 2 o'clock in the morning. So we know what I did. I did. So I walk in there. I look at this smoky bar because back then you can smoke. And I'm like, you know how happy they're going to see. They're going to be so happy to see me. You know that. I walk in, they look at me stunned. Like, what are you doing here? I was called to come get you. Oh, and they just start going nuts. Arr! And there's people all over going, this is embarrassing. I'm here. At least I wasn't in my pajamas, right? I put some good clothes. And so I bring them home, and I spent the next while just ministering God's love to them. That was a long time ago, but it was fun. I have to admit, it was fun. We need to realize that when you go places, it might not always be what's comfortable to you. You go where they're at. You find them where they're at. Maybe they're miserable. Maybe they're lonely. Maybe they're in a place of desolation. We have to get such a heart. 1 John 4, let's turn there real quick, and I have this in my notes for you. We have to understand the nature of the God that we serve. And when we understand who he is, we would want to be more like this. 1 John chapter 4. I knew you'd beat me there. Look, you know what? And I just 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God doesn't possess love. He's not loving, even though he is very loving. He is love. It's an identity trait. It's a characteristic. Just like Jehovah Rapha, Jesus is my healer, God is love. You can't take love and God and separate the two. For God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus. God's example of love is giving. That's why he gave his son to us. That's why we can be born again. That's why we can have repentance. It's a gift of love. God loves us so much, he gives us an opportunity to be reunited with him at all times. And when we understand the characteristic of this love, it's amazing. The love that will go through and run after the one lost sheep. The love that will go after somebody who know is so angry and bitter, they're going to have that compassion rise up at them and love them more than their bitterness. When you go to these people, there's going to be a lot of things that they're going through, but you've got to be armed with God's love. I'll get to this in just a second, but when we understand the power of God's love, it'll overcome these things they're going through. I promise that. Love will compel them. Matthew 9 is one of my life verses. And Kenny, what's the one you always use? Matthew 14. These scriptures are some of my life verses. It's this. And so Jesus saw the sheep as without a shepherd. He was filled with compassion, and he healed them there. What happened? Jesus saw the sheep in their true condition. And he had such compassion, he went where they were to heal them. He didn't wait for them to come to him. He went to them and healed them. And I believe as Christians, we need to start getting out of a comfort zone and saying, well, if they need me, they'll call me. If they need me, they know where I'm at. No, we need to increase a level of compassion and love and concern and be willing to leave the 99, which could be, what's the 99 represent? Your time, your comfort, what you're going through in life, your busyness, and you need to overcome and get out of your self mode and start asking Jesus every day, Lord, who is one of the 99 that I can reach today? This is who Jesus is, and this is who we have to become. We have to get the heart of the Father in us so much that we're constantly being moved with loving these people. Not just because they miss a church on Sunday. Yes, that might be a good reason to call them, though. But what if they miss a month? And what if you haven't seen them? Or maybe it's somebody else. I don't care who it is. God, lead me to make that one phone call that will be ministering love to them. When we understand that heart, we find out who are these lost sheep. Here's who they are. They're disappointed. They're hurt. They're angry. Some of them are in rebellion. Some of them are living in sin. Some of them are just living their lives of self because they're angry and fed up with church. A great story recently was somebody, and I've heard, you've all heard the story over and over again, I don't go to church because they're full of hypocrites. Well, good. Then just why don't you come and add to the list? I mean, why not? But you see, these judgments we make about church people is because maybe we saw one person act one way, and then these people get disenfranchised with church. You know what overcomes that? Your love. 1 Peter 4:8 says this. Have fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Love one another. Love, John 14 says, love one another as I have loved you. That kind of love that God had for you, that tenacious love that he sent his own son for you, we need to get to a point in our lives that that's the kind of love we have for one another. And especially when you know someone that's living in sin or struggling with sin, shouldn't love cover that right there? God's love and mercy covers that sin. Doesn't expose them, but covers them. One of the greatest examples I use all the time is John chapter 8. When the woman who was caught in the midst of adultery. This is one of my favorite stories because it's so embarrassing in so many ways where a woman, they were literally stalking this woman to the point where they found her going into somebody's house, committing adultery. And they said they pulled her in the very act of adultery out of it and brings her to Jesus and said, all right, the law says stone her, what do you say? And of course, you know the story. He's like, well, he is without the first, without sin, cast the first stone. But after that whole encounter, he looks at that woman and says, where are your accusers? I don't condemn you either. Go and leave your life of sin. That's the message that we ought to be portraying to every one of these lost sheep today. I know you're lost. I know you've lost your way. I know you're angry. I know you're hurting. I know you're mad. I know you're living in sin right now. But can I tell you right? I don't come here to condemn you. I came to love you and encourage you to leave this and come on back to the other sheep. They miss you. Come on home. Your sheep, the other ones, you might not know it, but they do miss you just like I miss you. That's why I'm calling you today. That's why I'm reaching out to you today. Is I want you to know, me and the other 99, we're kind of missing your face around us. We kind of miss the fact that when you came, and we just miss you. And I want you to know I love you and I'm caring about you. You know what happens when you go up to those people? You might hear things about people you like. Do you know the number one thing you're going to hear probably is where if they're leaving the church and they're mad, you're probably going to hear something bad about me or Kenny or one of the other church members. Listen, it's okay. I've been doing this for 23 years. I've heard a lot of stuff about me I didn't even know it existed. Didn't even know it was true. I actually have to say, really? I didn't even heard that one yet. There's times where people come to me, I never heard that one yet. Thank you. No, we're going to hear stuff because things get assumed, presumed, and people are hurt and angry, and they take things. And I understand over the last few years, many years, I have let myself go to bed with knots in my gut, thinking, how in the world do those people believe such a thing? But if I sit back and get angry, or if I get back and throw a pity party for myself, that sheep is still lost, folks. That sheep still needs to be loved. And maybe I can't be the one to love them because of something that took place, but you can. You know, whatever you do, if they're I'll use me as an example because I don't mind. If they're mad at me, don't defend me. Don't go and say, oh, I can't believe you talk about my pastor that way. You want to go? You know who that was? That was Big Ed, by the way, just on a side note. Ask Big Ed. I miss the guy. I miss our buddy, but he used to do that. You talk bad about me, Big Ed would probably take you out. Just let you know right now. And he wanted them back to church, too, by the way. I think he scared them so much they came back to church out of fear. But Ed had that ability. Now, Ed, you know what? As much as Ed would stand there and say, don't, hey, enough of that, he'd also go and give you that big bear hug and bring you back to church himself. We need that, don't we? Miss that guy, don't we? We miss him a lot. He's amazing, and he's up there with Jesus, so good. But you know what? That's what he did. He learned how to love people and reach out. He'd call my dad. He'd call different people. I found out when my brother moved out of state after, he knew it, and he'd still call him and go, hey, just want you to know we miss you. Miss you. And that's just who he was. And we need more of this that heart of love and commitment and compassion for people that are missing. Not just in church. I'm using church because that's where we're here now. But they don't defend me. Love them. They're your focus. Even if you hear something, they go, wow, I didn't know that. He really is a jerk. Don't do that either, because they don't need your help. Okay? Trust me, they've already built a case in their mind that's went over this thing. What happens is something happens, you know this. And then they ponder it, they think it over, and then by the time it gets blown up, it's gotten so much worse than it really was. That's okay. You might hear that, but listen to their heart. And ask the Holy Spirit as they're talking about somebody or something they're going through, or the church is a bunch of this and this. Stop. Lord, how can I love them? Defending Adam or defending the church or defending that's not gonna help your cause at all. At all. But loving him will. Hey, I'm really sorry that happened to you. I would love for you to maybe sit down and talk to Kenny, because I'm sure it's all Kenny's fault, right? I would love for you to sit down and talk to Adam about this, but you know what more importantly is? I just want you to know I miss you. I love you, and I'm just praying for you, and you've been on my heart, and that's why I called you. Can I pray for you? Is there something I can do for you right now? Change the narrative back to love. Change the narrative back to compassion to them. Make it about them and not about the problem. Make it about how can I love you where you're at rather than trying to fix your, you will not fix their problems, because when you fix that one, there'll be five more. Because guess what? All they told you was the smokescreen. All they told you was the catalyst to get them angry enough to make a bad decision to live the way. Most likely, when you find out someone's struggling, there's something inside of them that's in rebellion in their heart. Many, many people allow themselves to get sidetracked with all the stuff out here, when in actuality, it's a rebellion inside their heart that's causing them to get that way. You can get there with the love of God. That lost sheep wants to be found. That son, that prodigal son, which we're, for the sake of time, I'm probably not going to read a lot of what I wanted to today, but that prodigal son who ran off with all of his dad's stuff and said, thanks, I got it, my inheritance, I'm going to go out there. He went from the living a land of luxury to living with the Gentiles in sin and rebellion. And when sin and rebellion didn't work, he lived in a land of misery and despair, eating with pigs. And in his culture, you don't touch pigs. He literally went from here to here to here. The problem is when people get lost, they get really lost. When they get lost, not only do they go and, oh, they're living their land of life. They're out there sleeping around. They're drinking their drugs. And oh, yeah. Oh, that's a symptom. What's caused them to get there, you don't know. But if you find out, you're going to do it through love and compassion. You're going to go where they're at, and you're going to love them through this. And then if they don't, they start eating with pigs. And then he got so miserable, the prodigal son, let's just see it. Let's go to chapter 15 of Luke. We're back there again. He wasted verse 14, he wasted all of his living and right his living. And when he had spent there, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he went, he joined himself to assist in that country. He left his identity as this prodigal son, the father. He went and joined himself to another. He changed his identity. He lost the ability to know who he was. He is no longer a child of God. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get people that don't even believe they have the right to talk to God anymore. Verse 15. And he sent him to the fields to feed swine. And he would fain, having filled his belly with husks that the swine ate, and gave no man unto him. Miserable place to be. These are lost sheep that have now found their end. They're longing for someone like you and I to go find them. They're longing for the church to be restored back to the heart of Jesus and love them where they're at and bring them out of this. In this case, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. That's the story here, right? In verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants at my dad's house has bread enough to spare, and I'm perishing here with hunger? reality hit. I could be a servant and do better than I am right now. And I was a son. My favorite verse in this whole entire chapter, I love it. I will arise and go to my father. I'll say to him, this is where he went off track. I'm going to say to him, which is, means his heart was right, but look where the father will respond in just a minute. I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as a hired servant. And he arose and came to his father. Let's stop there. I don't want to ruin the rest of it. That's a different point I'm going to make in a minute. The prodigal son found himself in a bad place, but reality hit. He came to himself and he said, it's time for me to go back home. I want you and I to start praying diligently, to go find those people who have lost their way. They need to come back home. There's a place for them right here. There's a place for them in the kingdom. And believe it or not, they're more miserable than what they show you on Facebook. They're more miserable than what they're making out there publicly for you to know. When you get down to the compassionate level of that love, now remember, don't join them in their stuff. You're there to bring them out of it. You're there to get them out of the trap, out of the junk, not go hang out with them. One of the most dangerous things, and this is a true story that happened years ago. We had a lady that was married to a pastor, and they started coming to church here back of the old lumber building. Gosh, it's been a long time ago. And she said, the Lord put on my heart that I'm supposed to go minister to Muslims. I said, great. Who are you going to work with? Well, I don't really have an organization. I just feel led to go up to the place up in Plainfield and go there. So, by yourself? You're going to want to maybe team up with some people. No. God told me to do this. I'm like, so I went to her husband. We were all together. I said, are you okay with this? He's like, not really. I'm a little concerned about that. And so we began to talk with her, and she said, listen, I know God called me to do it. So in this case right now, you see the heart, we're not going to be able to. So she went off, and she began to minister. And within 1 year, she left her husband and married a Muslim man, and she was his third wife because they in that culture, and totally went there alone and deceived. And was able to, instead of walking and leading them out, she was let in. Let's be careful that when you're winning sheep, you're winning them back to the fold. And you're there with your covering, your blessing, and making sure you're armed yourself, because we do not want to see one more casualty in a war. Let's go armed. And when you go armed, you know, this, you're going to go out there, and if you're not ready to hear stuff, and pray the Lord to protect your ears. But go. Go and love these people. They need to come home. We're living in a season right now where the light needs to get lighter, and we need to draw the family back together. And I believe the church has to see this as a family. Missing somebody, it's every week Kenny and I talk. And Amy, I saw Amy there, she's back there. You're in the light zone, by the way, so it's hard. But every week we throw names at one another. Hey, how owner, how's so-and-so? I had Kenny text me a phone number because I didn't have it this week so I could reach out to somebody. I want to make sure that we as a church, not just the three of us or the leaders, we all are wanting to be like Jesus here and running after the one that's missing. Amen? Are you hearing me this morning? I can't see you, so hopefully you can see me. Kenny did tell me that if I wanted to see a little bit better, I have to go up there. And so I might actually do that one day. So love covers the multitude of sin. It's time for us to go after the one. Here's where I'd like to conclude with you. We can see their condition. We run after them. We reach them. But here's the greatest news. Is verse 20 in this chapter is what we want to see happen here on every Sunday morning. We want to see this happen in living rooms or all across your homes where you're bringing them back in the fold. That this is what the father's response was. His son was gone. He said, verse 20, and he came to his father. But when he was yet great a way off. Now, you got to think of this. It's a story. So if somebody's a way off, did one of his servants come and say, yo, dad, or yo, man, your son's on his way back? No, I truly believe that this old man was tore up because his son was gone. I believe there are people in this room right now that are tore up inside, that your kids are not walking where they should be the Lord. And it's a burden that this father here was facing. And I'd like to challenge that every one of us should have that same burden for lost people. Have the same burden for people that are hurting and wounded and angry and in rebellion. This father here saw his son from afar. And it says, verse 20, he was a great way off, and his father saw him, and he had compassion. His father saw him and was moved with the same compassion that Jesus had when he healed the multitudes. And it says he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. And just on a side note, this is a great story. I love, as I said, I love hearing this from old school teachers. This is really what happens. After the age of about 18, you don't run as much because your robes are longer. By the age, which I thought there's other reasons for that too. But by the age of 30, it's almost a disgrace for a man of that stature to run. Because to do it, you have to literally hike up that your little tunic thing you're wearing, and you're running down there not caring what anyone thinks about you. This man who is proper, this man who had everything to do the right way, did not care what protocol was. He saw his son. He saw a sheep that's been lost. He saw that $1,000 envelope under that chair, and was not going to let the person over there get that envelope. He was going all out. Nothing was going to stop him to get that prize. Are we that way at all? Are we going to have that type of tenacity and love for people that when we see where they're at, we don't just go, man, I hope they get back. Well, they made their bed. They're lying in it. Told you should have never done that, stupid people. Sometimes we get that way, don't we? You know what? They knew it. They knew what they were doing when they went there. They knew it. I mean, you know what? They were warned for years to not drink. And look, now they pick up the bottle and they're a bunch of drunks. It's own stupidity. Folks, what if someone treat us that way? It's time for us to get the heart of a father who's looking for those people, not waiting for those people, but looking and running after them when you see them, grabbing them and just saying, hey, welcome back. No, this great big bear hug, he ran and fell upon him. He tackled him. He literally grabbed the hold of me, kissed him, and said, then he goes on this thing, my son, which we'll get to in just a second. Ready? Verse 21, I'm jumping at myself again. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy called your son. He had that whole thing he was about to say. The father's like, yeah, stop. But the father stopped him. No, shut up, son. Listen to me. I love this part. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Bring hither a fatted calf and kill it. And let's eat and be merry. For my son, who was dead, is alive again. And his lost is found. And they began to be merry. This is the sound that I want to see us as a church have. This is the sound I want to see homes have all across this region. That we are starting to see a sound of celebration. That souls are being saved. Souls are being won back. Sheep are being found. And lost people are finding Jesus again. This is the sound that Spirit of Life has become. Robbie Dawkins is coming in a month because he's going to train and he's going to hopefully fire you up to go out and give you strategies of how to do this more effectively. We got to get a church show, but you know what? Him coming on a weekend and giving you a bunch of strategies and showing you how power evangelism works and other ways to love people and seeing signs and miracles following his ministry is awesome. I had three pastors call me this week asking me how they can advertise this so they can come. I said, we won't have enough room for you. You do realize when I'm telling you to get here early, I'm not joking. We will not have enough seats in this sanctuary to fill it. We already have an overflow plan, and I don't even know what plan C is. We are expecting a large crowd because Kenny really felt led to bring this. He's a big name when it comes to speakers, and the word is getting out that they got this church in Martinsville is bringing Robbie Dawkins in. You know what I don't care about that. I don't care if the group was this size right here. I want a people that has the heart of compassion inside of them that when he comes, they're ready for the message. I don't want him to get here and have to get you ready. My heart today is to just go ahead and put some water on this thing and say, come on, let's let this grow. And by the time he gets here, you guys are going to be ready to go and storm the gates. You guys will be so ready with compassion and love that then you know, hey, I heard that there's 99 here. There's one over there. Let's go. And we have a competition who gets the one first. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great that someone goes, you know what? I haven't heard from someone in that church for like 3 months, and then 16 people call me in 1 week. Good. Hopefully next week it's 17. Because why? People are starting to see the needs of others above their own needs. They're getting a heart of compassion and love more than a heart of selfishness. It's easy to live with the 99, eat and drink and be merry. That's great. But it's more exciting when you go out and say, my son who I thought was dead is alive. Kill the fat calf and let's have a party. Let's party like it's a new salvation coming to town. Let's do this where we can see the kingdom of God advance because the church is wanting to go and reach the ones that are being unreached. Well, man, that person's into drugs so bad. Good. Have they ever had Jesus touch them that quick and get set free? That's what we're believing for. Let's leave the comfort of the 99. Let's get to the one. And that's the heart of the Father. And then, but here's the problem. Some of you in the room, put your seatbelt on. You're not going to like this part. Just give you a heads up, okay? Verse 25, now the older brother. Always got an older brother in every crowd, don't we? He was in the field, and he heard this loud party going on, and he was furiously ticked off, right? And then let's jump down. He said in verse 27, hey, what's going on? He goes, your brother came home. His reaction was awesome. I've been missing him so much. No, that wasn't it. Newsflash. Your brother's come. Your father killed the fat calf because he had received him safe and sound. He was angry. He would not go in. Therefore came his father to him and said, look at the father here. The father cared just as much for the prodigal as he does his own son that's been here the whole time. Don't get confused. God's love for you is every day, every real, and you shouldn't have to have a party to feel loved by God. You get it every day, which he's about to tell the son that in just a minute, by the way. He was already, because Woody, I came to you. We're throwing a big old party out there. Everyone's dancing. They're enjoying their time together. He's got the robe on, but I found you, son. This is a story we forget to tell. The son didn't go to him mad. The father found the son that was angry and still loved him too. We got to do this. We got to love each other, even when they're in the fold, a little bit angry. We got to love them too. It's tough sometimes. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 29. He answered and said, Father, all these years do I serve you. I don't sin against you. I don't transgress. And at any time, thy commandment. And yet thou never gave me a kid, that I might be merry and make my friends. But as soon as your son came, you have devoured the living with harlots, which is he devoured all that stuff with harlots. He killed for the fatted calf. What's going on here? He goes out and lives a life of stupidity, and you're giving him the fatted calf? Look at the father. He said to his son, you're always with me, and all that I have has always been yours. Should we be more like the father than the older brother? A lot of times, I'll be honest with you, one of my biggest struggles with church people is they're more like the older brother than they are like the father. They're jealous. They're angry. Man, you give all that guy all that attention. Boy, if I could just get that kind of attention from our pastor. I'm just saying, I've heard that once or twice. And maybe I should do a better job in other areas. I'm not saying there's a lot of room for improvement, I'm sure. But what if we were outwitting those one? The 99, you all, we should be loving each other. You're already living in the Father's love. And if you're not, forgive me to say this, it's your own fault, right? True? Not to be disrespectful. You're already home. You're supposed to be home. If you're not experiencing his best, then we need to get ourselves there. We need to get in his presence more. We need to get in his word more. If we're not experiencing the Father's blessing because we're under his house now, then that's our responsibility. Yes, a pastor should be there for you. And yes, your leaders should be there for you. But it is our responsibility to take advantage of what's rightfully ours in the kingdom. Love, joy, peace, pays power in the Holy Ghost. That's yours. We should be living a life free of rejection, free of turmoil. If you're constantly getting rejected by feeling this way, oh, I'm feeling left out, I'm feeling angry, I don't feel loved, whoa. You're the 99. Let's grow. Let's mature together. Because I know there's areas in my life I can still mature in those same things I just pointed out. Let's grow together so when we start bringing in the one, we're all celebrating together and not going, well, I wish I had that happening for me. Hey, rejection, leave. Don't need that. Why? Because that's how we get. I want to celebrate those people out there that don't know Jesus or walked away. And I want to see them come home. But we do not need that spirit of the older brother to come in this place and say, what about me? Anybody? Let's be real today. I love you all. You know I love you. But let's get rid of that attitude right now. The what about me attitude? Would you agree today? Maybe it's you. Privately. Don't tell nobody. Just repent right now. Seriously, we can giggle, and I'm giggling too, but I'm not giggling as much as you think I am. Let's repent of that right now. Let's not let that older brother thing get in us where we're not so excited for the new Christians coming in. Or we're not so excited for the ones that maybe aren't living the way they should, and they're getting a little bit more attention than you want. Let's decide right now, God, I want to be like the Father here, and I want to celebrate those that are coming home. I want to be a part. I want to be in line to give them a high five and a hug and say, welcome back to the fold. I don't want to be like the older brother here. I want to be like the Father. Worship team, you can come on up, by the way. The last person we can be. So the response that we have of this story is either A, we can be like the Father, B, you can be like the older brother, or C, we can be like the prodigal son himself. When he came home, he was able to be celebrated. I want to have every one of you live a life that the older brother didn't live, and to live a life of celebration. Do you know that being in God's presence should bring you joy every day, not just on Sunday mornings? Being in God's word, you know, I was listening to Kenneth Hagin on the way home. I had a long drive. I drove his best. And I was in three states yesterday driving. It was a lot of fun. And I was up near the Wisconsin Dells. And then I drove over to the border of Illinois and Missouri. Then I came home. It was a lot of fun. But I listened to Kenneth Hagin quite a bit. And then he made a comment. He goes, I want you to hold your Bible up. You don't have to do it now because most of you got your phones or whatever anyways. But I want you to hold your Bible up and say, this is God's word. And when you do that, this is God's word that speaks to me. This is God's word that speaks to you. And when you stop right there, and this is what he's saying to this group, he goes, if you can understand the way God speaks to you right now, 100% of the time, is through this, you'll never lose sight of the power of being in this. If you don't believe this is truly God's word that speaks to you every day, you will not make this a priority. Just letting you know that. You will make this a priority because how much of, any married folks here, you know what, I shouldn't say this, but we're going to say it anyways, but you want to talk to your spouse every day, we hope, right? You should want to hear from them every day. When I was traveling, I woke up to a text, did you get some sleep last night? Well, the fact that I'm checking the hotel till like 3 o'clock in the morning and she was texting me at 8:30 or 9, no, because you woke me up. No, I didn't say that. Actually, I didn't text her back till I woke up about 8:30. And I said, yeah, I don't know what I said, yes or something. And so I said, yes, I think is what I said. Yes, I did. What do you want? No. But you know what's nice is when you're gone, you want to hear their voice. When you're apart, you want to know how they're doing. I got good news for you. You can always know God's word every day just by this. And you know what? Sometimes, I want to hear more. The more you're in this, the more he will speak to you outside of this too, by the way. I believe that. This is what Kenneth Hagin, I'm going to say. That's actually what he said. So many of you right now are saying, I want to hear from God, but you won't hear from this. You won't listen to this, but you want to hear something out here. No, it doesn't happen that way. You get in this and get grounded in this. You'll hear stuff from God. You know, when I open up my Bible and I start reading, do you know how many times I hear stuff that's not even in here going, whoa, I didn't know. Why am I taking notes about something here when I'm reading this? Because God, once I open up his word becomes alive in me. And his word and the word in me becomes so alive that I'm writing notes and I have to close the door. Okay, stop. I can't handle anymore. That's how this should be to you. And so today, I want to encourage you, build yourself up. Get yourself to a place where you're more excited about this because then you'll be armed to go get the 99, the one, and not just stay with the 99. My encouragement for you this week, here's my conclusion. It's this simple. Is it my second or third conclusion? I get three, right? My encouragement for you is this. Monday night, we got a men's and women's study. Tuesday night, we got a prayer meeting. Arm yourself. You want to get in the word? There's two opportunities this week, especially on Tuesday. They're prayer and the word. We have opportunities for you to get the 99, to get plugged in and connected in so many ways. And if you're not, I encourage you, get connected, because then when the one out there is missing, maybe we can have a combined effort to even do a better job. I want to see the one that's stranded right now. And I could probably right now, off the top of my head, give you 10 names of people that look around that's related to you, around you, that I pray for regularly because I miss them. Maybe I need to do a better job calling and reaching out. But I know this, there's not a single name that you're going to tell me about, most likely, that I don't know what's going on or don't pray about regularly. But we all need to do a better job finding the one. And when you do find them, they might be in a very bad place. Are you willing to do what Jesus did? Pick up their brokenness, put him on his seat, put him on his shoulders, and he carried him back to the curb. You might need to go pick them up for church yourself. I don't care. Are we willing to live a selfless life to find the ones that are missing? This morning, you were given a word from the Lord by Kenny. I'll remind you this. So as you stand, Karen, if you would stand with me, as the worship team is playing, as the prayer team comes on up, I want you to do two things.